Well, we're studying healing, Christ, faith. I just stay on this as long as the Holy Spirit keeps me here. But today we're going to go to Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And this is sort of one of many recorded things in the beginning of Jesus. It says here, he had entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway men were gathered, or immediately, together, inasmuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not as much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. So here Jesus was at a particular home. And when word got out, Jesus was there. Everyone flocked there where the house was packed. And you couldn't even get to him through the door. Kind of reminds me, I remember the one time in India, I think, Dave, you were with me at that time, where it was right after the tsunami, and they had... someone had given them a home or something down along the coastline, and they couldn't. You know, Israel had wondered, well, why was this even given to us? Because they didn't have any churches there. No one was able to start a church in these fishing colonies. They were very much cut your throat type people, seriously, and. At the same time, there was a army truck given that had like a water tank on the back. And he was wondering about this. This was right before the tsunami hit. We had gone over. We took like cartons of water purification tablets. But I remember they were taking down. We were there about maybe 30 days after the tsunami. And or maybe it was even less than that, 2 weeks after. And they were taking food and water and just things like a bucket, because these people lost literally everything. And we were having meetings then, and as you know, they would go and just show the love of Christ, take like food, water, and then gradually began sharing Jesus, and then they had meetings while we were there, and there was have a meeting in this home. I still remember. I mean, all of the sort of like a living room area, a couple rooms like adjoining, and there was people on every square foot of the floor sitting there, people sitting in the windowsills, people outside of the windows, they're leaning in, listening, people out there just listening, you know, out along the street. I can still remember that, and remember looking down, sort of right my right hand and feet, and there was this little older lady sitting there, and I knew in my spirit she lost everything, family members, everything, but she had received Jesus and was sitting there full of joy, this glow about her. I remember seeing her, Dave. Or maybe somebody else stuck out to you, but I still remember that lady sitting there. She probably only had half her teeth, and she didn't have anything, literally. But she had Jesus now, just with the joy of the Lord and anticipation. And people just, you know, you couldn't move in or out. And that just comes to my mind because I've seen that type of thing before there where... Yeah, there would be meetings and even pastors' meetings where we're going to say, okay, we're going to be laying hands on the pastors. Mm-hmm. And they would just pack in and be like sitting in the windowsills. And we say, okay, we're going to pray now. People literally, they would be so anxious about it. I remember sometimes it would be like pastors' wives crawling on the floor trying to get between the people's legs to get up there sooner because they were afraid, you just leave, because that's what the Hindu priests would do. They'd like say, well, we're going to bless you, and they touch a couple people, and then they'd leave. So it actually would make way for even sort of hysteria, where you literally had to get very physical to keep people from getting like squashed against the stage, literally. Or because usually you have like the older ones sit in the floor right in front of you, and then maybe kids, and the men would sit in the back. But people would like run forward because they were so desperate looking for the Lord's touch in their life. So I visualize this as I read these scriptures, and I like to, when I read in the Gospels especially, but anywhere in the Bible, visualize and imagine being there. What was the atmosphere? What was things going on in spirit? So here the people, they heard of Jesus because they heard of some of the miracles and healings that were being done. As soon as they knew he was at this home, they just flocked there. And that's why he told people not to go around and tell what was being done in the beginning. He couldn't travel and he couldn't freely minister because people were just flocking to him. So he preaches the word to them. And it says they brought one sick of the palsy, and he was born of four. There were four men carrying him on like a gurney of some sort. Four men carrying him on poles. It says they could not come nigh him for the press. They uncovered the roof where he was, and broken it up, and let down the bed where the sick of the palsy lay. Now, this man had four friends who were willing to carry him to this home, to begin with, which showed that they were real friends. They were willing to go out of their way to really put forth a great effort for their friend. But when they got there, I mean, you get people pushing and shoving, and maybe you went to a concert already or something, and people are trying to push and shove to get in to get a good seat. And that can get really chaotic and rather dangerous. And here they are carrying a man on a gurney. Okay, so they're trying to make their way through. They can't get through. And the man was so determined, he believed that if he could get to Jesus, he would be healed. What we're going to look at is there is a corresponding action to faith. We can say we believe whatever, but what you really believe, you will speak accordingly, you will act accordingly, and we see that exemplified here. So these men were not going to be denied. They were not going to have their friend denied. So they cut a hole in the roof or removed tiles or whatever type of roof it was. And then they have like ropes on the end of the gurney and lowered him in front of Jesus. It's really an amazing thing. One of the things that we see here is a desperation for this man in his heart to be healed, and a love in the people that they would do whatever it takes to get that. Sometimes, you know, people just give up too easy. If something doesn't come quick and easy, and this is very much common to our society today. If something doesn't come easy, we're off somewhere else. Yesterday, Donna was going to go out and get some, stop at a drugstore or something, and stop and get something to eat in Lion's Pride. It's the nicest restaurant near our house, and they have takeout now, of course, in the last 2 years. and she was going to do takeout, and the parking lot was jammed full. So she drives to Panera Bread and gets something to bring home. Why? Because she wasn't going to sit in the parking lot for 20 or 30 minutes waiting there. Now, that's just good use of time. But, and that's not to pick at her or anything, but the thing was, she wasn't going to sit there for, you know, God knows how long until all the crowd died down, because there was no doubt a whole line of people, not only inside, but also waiting to, or having an order in for a takeout. So, we're very much conditioned to things being done quickly, efficiently, and now. Right? I'm not the only one. Y'all like that too, right? You expect efficiency. Our society was built on that. That's why productivity in this country is so much greater. There is a demand and a requirement for efficiency in business. One of the things that's sad to me as an observation is that is in decline. Things are not nearly as efficient, and there's not nearly the competence in the business arena. At least it seems that way to me. It's just like a lack of competence because of lack of workers. Of course, if people are paid to stay home and do nothing, that can feed lazy flesh really quick. So you have many times people are just conditioned to, if it doesn't come quick and easy, and I hate to say it, but that's in the psyche of our American culture. So we can tend to think towards God that way. Well, if something's not quick and easy, well, I guess he isn't going to do it. Because if anything's is of value, it should happen quick and easy. Actually, quite the opposite is true. Good things take time, many times, where quick and easy, generally, I mean, there's shortcuts involved there. But again, it's a mindset that begins to develop. I want everything now, 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 quick and easy, quick and easy. And the sad thing is you have young people, they grow up and they don't learn really the value of working toward a goal and working towards accomplishing certain things. So again, if it doesn't come easy, they just can tend to want to quit. Now, those that are taught differently growing up today are a whole different breed of person than that which is rather common in our midst. And that is that they'll value hard work, setting a goal, and working a little bit more long term. So here, this man needs his healing. His friends are committed to get him to Jesus, but it's not going to come easy because there's a crowd here. So they cut a hole in the roof. And it says, when Jesus, verse 5, saw their faith, he saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, he brings something different into the equation of healing. In what we're looking at already, we see that he touched Peter's mother, you know, through the laying on of hands. Healing was imparted. We see that he spoke to the centurion whose servant wasn't even present. He spoke a word and he was healed. There's times he cast out demons and people were healed. Healing comes different ways. And I want to bring this point out to you here. It's something we need to understand. There are principles upon which God as creator designed the human body to work. There are principles, there are things that the human body needs. It was created to heal itself. And there are principles there. For example, everybody needs protein. They need certain vitamins. They need certain minerals. And right on down the line, there's things that are needed. That you need oxygen for your body. So as your blood flows, it carries the nutrition and the oxygen. There's principles. That's the same for everybody. However, everyone is unique in exactly what it needs. So there are principles that are the same, and there is the uniqueness. And when it comes to your life, you need to understand both. You need to understand the principles that God designed things to work and endeavor to operate by that as much as possible, as much as you know. Walk in the knowledge you would have. But then there are also uniqueness factors. One man's medicine is another man's poison. Something's cooking today. I don't know what's cooking today. That's what made me think about what I'm about. Now, I love sautéed garlic. I'm not too big on eating it raw. I know when I would go to, like, Russia, they would eat raw. I remember once my interpreter, Corinne, we were, I think, for a week in Moldova. We came back to Odessa, and his favorite dish was garlic. And that is what my wife must have made, like a couple bulbs of garlic. And the next morning at Bible school, he's interpreting for me. He's standing right beside me, and he's, you know, looking at me, listening, interpreting, you know. I could hardly stand it. I mean, the guy, he's arm length away. He's about, his breath was so strong, I was about ready to pass out. Like, brother, you got to stand over there. But, I mean, he was in glory. He loved it. Now, I like sautéed garlic, not too much big on it raw. Same with onions. Love sautéed onions, but not so big on it raw. But garlic and onions, to a lesser extent, has allicin in it, which is antibacterial, antiviral. It's a very, very, very medicinal and healthy herb. Yet I have a friend who's a very, very, very knowledgeable relative to nutrition and practices eating certain ways. He's allergic to garlic. He can't eat it at all. So, you know, one man's medicine can be another man's poison. You have to know what works for you certain ways. And in terms of health, that in itself is somewhat of a journey of attaining knowledge. Now, there are certain principles, generally speaking, garlic's good for you. In some cases, it might be what's needed to manifest healing in a certain area. But for somebody else, it could cause an allergic reaction. So with healing, there is not one way. And this is very important to understand, because man in his religious mindset approach in life is always looking for the way, and then proposes this is the way for everybody. Anyone who promotes everyone needs to do this, they are unqualified to give counsel on anything, because they don't understand how it works. There's not one way. You may have one time Jesus lays hands on somebody. Another time he's casting out a spirit. Another time he's spitting, making mud and putting it on their eye. Generally speaking, you don't put mud on an injury or an open wound. But I suppose Maybe there's certain things where that would be beneficial. But my point is that Jesus did things when it came to healing in a variety of ways. Now, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life is never laid out to us like it's exactly this, 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 and this, or we then make a religion out of it. Doctrine doesn't change. Doctrine is absolute. But how God manifests and moves and does things is not absolute. There's not one way. In fact, he does things many, many ways, which what he does in the operating like this, he forces us to seek knowledge, but then he also forces us to seek to hear the voice of God. And we need the wisdom of how to apply that knowledge to our life. Let's roll this over just to getting born again or saved. There's the work of the Holy Spirit in principle. We hear the gospel. We realize by the Holy Spirit's ministry that we have sinned and need to be saved from sin. You don't say a prayer to go to heaven without knowing you need saved from sin. You're saved from something, delivered from evil, brought into the kingdom of God. So we have the principle there, but God's pathway to bring people to salvation is different. So everyone has a different testimony, a different story, how he brought them there. That's why in Scripture it doesn't lay out just one way, everyone do this, except for the principle that we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and confess him as Lord, or we enter that new covenant with God by our words, by words of faith. So the principle of faith is combined with conviction power. That's the same for everybody. But then how God works that to bring someone to him is unique to everyone's life. And healing is a part of the gospel. It works the same way. There's not one way. There's many ways. So we seek to understand and abide in the knowledge of the principles of God. Yet at the same time, we must learn to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. When people are rather lazy, they want someone to just tell them what to do. Tell me the abracadabra. Tell me, rub the what was the thing, the genie in the bottle, whatever. You know, tell me this to do the right thing. God wants us to seek him. And in the process of seeking him, there are things that develop in you. There is the perseverance to the truth. And conviction in our soul develops as we continue to persevere and to seek after him. That's something someone can't do for you. But someone else to do it all for them. That's why some are inclined to seek out a prophet. You tell me what God would say, rather than me to go into his word and find what God would be saying to me. And allow it to be revelation to me. Oh, here you tell me, Mr. Prophet. And that way I can go about seeking my own pleasure. But when I need an answer, I just dial it up from you. And that leads people to get into a lot of error. Well, here, faith was in evidence because the one sick of the palsy plus his four friends believed something. In principle, they believed that if they could get to Jesus, Jesus would heal their friend. they had a perseverance where they're not going to be denied. They were convinced if Jesus but touches our friend, if we can get him to them, he'll be healed. So they go so far as to cut a hole in the roof and lower the man down. And then Jesus amazes everyone. And he says, your sins are forgiven. And the guy's healed. Now, one of the things we see is that sometimes, and this is not all of the time, sometimes sickness is linked to sin. And sometimes it's not. In John 9, when the disciples ask, who sinned, this man or his parents? He said, neither of them. But rather, God wants to be glorified. It's the focus of that day is not who sinned. It's that a miracle needs to be done and God be glorified. But in some cases, sin opens the door for sickness or for problems. Now, for example, if you have someone who's smoking cigarettes, it's a known fact that will cause lung disease, emphysema, cancer, and so forth. That's an established fact. 40 years ago, that wasn't. People didn't realize that. But it came, to be brought out. That was a proven fact. So someone's sin in the love of that pleasure could cause that. So I know over the year, like years ago, every now and then you'd encounter someone. They come in a prayer line and they're coughing, hacking, and then they heal emphysema or something like that. And you can see the pack of cigarettes in their front pocket. And really, they needed to be told, buddy, you're going to have to repent of that smoking, because I can pray and you be healed and you're reinducing the sickness when you light up again. Now, that's a rather obvious thing with smoking, but there can be other things that we would do that would actually create certain health issues. And that's not to mention the fact that worry and fear create stress that releases toxins that can cause sickness in your body and right on down the line. So sometimes we need to repent of sin for healing to be released. And Jesus speaks to this man, your sins are forgiven. And there were some Pharisees present who this just blew their mind. Completely blew their mind. Well, no one can forgive sins but God. Precisely. Jesus was letting them know who he was, that he was the Son of God as well as man. Now, Jesus being made man, I shared previous weeks, was moved with compassion. He was tempted in every way we are, yet without sin. He suffered. He had sorrow and pain of rejection. And all these things, he understands what we feel and what we go through, and his heart is touched. The love of God is touched. He identified with man and feels what we feel. Jesus himself did not sin, but he understood the destructive power of sin and could pray and forgive sin. Thus, with James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, it says, is anyone sick, call for the elders of the church to come and anoint them with oil and pray the prayer of faith that they be forgiven their sin and be raised up and healed of their sickness. And there we see another location in Scripture of sin and sickness being linked together. Sometimes people will do things in a dietary sense that are actually sinning against their body, and it's causing problems, and they just want to laugh it off because they feel as though they're entitled. I should be able to do whatever I want. I like it. Ha, 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 ha. Wow, eat this and belch and everything else. Ha, 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 if you're sinning against your body, don't expect healing to flow like that. Now, the thing is, we don't walk around with this like fear, oh, I might be doing wrong. But the Holy Spirit will show you and convict you. And then it simply takes making a decision. That's poison. I don't eat that for me. I mean, right now, I'm believing the Lord personally for continued healing relative to blood sugar processing issues. And for me, sugar's poison for me right now. That will cause a bodily reaction. So it's not an option for me to eat ice cream and cake and other things like that. That's poison for me. That would be sin for me. I would be tempting God. So I just don't eat it. Well, how can you go and not have ice cream and cake and all that? You just make a decision. That's not. Now, on the flip side, you can eat something that is good for you. Brussels sprouts is good for me. And if you eat older ones, the big older ones, they're very bitter. I don't really like the bitter taste. I'm not a coffee drinker. Some of you love bitter. That's fine. You have bitter, sour, sweet, salty. I'm more like salty. Can't do sweet anymore at this time till that would change in my body, then I could. But in the meantime, that's poison for me. So, but something like Brussels sprouts loaded up with butter or cheese, maybe something salty, I eat it. Or maybe certain other, you're chicken or something, things like that. And I've actually learned to acquire the taste for it. If you eat something enough, you can acquire the taste for anything. Really can. I mean, most anybody, the first time they begin to drink something like a beer, they don't say, wow, this tastes good. They usually are spitting it out of their mouth, especially if like they're something. But they so much want the keep forcing it upon themselves till they actually acquire the taste. I'll never forget going to India 1981 the first time. And we had rice every meal. And I wasn't a big rice person prior to that. But we didn't have sweet or salty things. I mean, it was rice. And back then, there was a commercial for Rice Krispies. It's going to be a rice day. That was our joke. We get up and we start to sing, it's going to be a rice day. Because we had rice in the morning, rice in the afternoon, rice in the evening, too. 3 weeks go by. I remember hearing you can change your taste buds in 3 weeks. 3 weeks, I come home, and I'm thinking about all the things I'm going to eat when I get home. And Donna made like a dinner, and it was whatever, baked potato and green beans with butter on. And I took a bite or two, and I couldn't eat anymore. And she makes like pancakes with syrup, a bite or two. I couldn't eat it. It was completely sickening to me because I hadn't had sugar or salt for 3 weeks. Well, I forced myself. And in a few days, I was back, you know, to that. But I gained the understanding you can change taste buds. And you can say, well, I don't like certain things. I remember meeting people where they say, well, I don't eat any vegetables. And I'm thinking, really? You need, whether you like it or not, you need to make yourself like it. Your body needs certain things. Unless you're figuring some other way out to get it, you're taking balance in nature. See that advertised all the time now. I mean, you could do something like that where you're drinking if you're V8 or something like that. But anyway, my point in saying all of that is that we can sin against our body, and ultimately there's a price to pay. We need to repent of what we're doing. But if we're stubborn and bullheaded and say, well, bless God, I should just be able to do what I always did, your body changes. And what it needs changes. Sometimes sometimes cravings are actually the voice of your body saying, you need a certain thing. Or the Holy Ghost might tell you, you need something. I had, just like a week or two ago, I started getting, my knees started paining, creaking like a wooden fence. And I encountered something like that once before, and had this like uber load of vitamin C. It was healed. And I took 1,000 milligrams of C every hour for 15 hours. And my knees were completely healed. And if I would have went to an MD, they probably would have said, well, you need a knee replacement. You need surgery. I didn't need anything like that. I was depleted of vitamin C. It could have been a medication or something. Depleted that. God knew I needed that. I didn't know I needed that. Nobody around me told me I needed that. The Holy Ghost told me 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C every hour. And actually, if you do that, when your body gets enough, it'll flush your bowels like you're flushing a toilet. I never did have to flush the toilet because my body was so depleted. Now, that was a word of knowledge to load up on that. Again, nobody told me that. I didn't like read a book and do all this research. It was a word of the Lord to me. And everything was fine by the next day. My knees. I mean, yeah. Because see what happens if you don't have sufficient C in your joints, it'll affect your joints. And if you don't have the fluid going there and you end up bone on bone, that's pain. Now, I had that once before and the Lord healed me in that way. So I'm just saying sometimes there's various causes and reasons for things. Sometimes the healing is going to be a prayer of faith. Sometimes you will be healed upon repentance. Sometimes the healing will be taking authority over a demonic a spirit who, for whatever, a whole other subject, but gained entry or has been allowed in for some reason. Again, that's a whole other topic. Sometimes there might be a deficiency in your body, which over time is causing a problem, and you need a certain thing nutritionally. Yet there's a lot of components here. There's not just one thing or one way. We need to live our life continuing to look for the knowledge of God. We need to continue in faith, trusting Him at all times. Something Brother Arthur Burt used to say I thought was very profound, yet simple, is that faith and wisdom need to be married. You can't try to operate just with one or the other. We need to, by faith, be trusting the Lord. Part of the reasoning we would pray before we eat it is to release faith that this is going to be good for our bodies, not poison to us, as well as incorporating a thankful heart that we have food. But part of it is for safety. Now, if we have our food supply filled with all these toxic things to keep us from getting sick, to kill all the bugs, well, I guess maybe you don't need to pray then. Then you need to pray to be delivered of the toxins. You know, but a lot of foods, you have E. coli and bacteria and all the rest of that is in that realm. And it's wise for us to release faith before we're going to ingest anything. But by the same token, before we hear the word, we pray. Why? Because we're releasing faith for the Holy Spirit to open our mind and our understanding and give us wisdom. And it's the same to our body. Lord, use this to nourish my body. Faith and wisdom in doing what's good for you. Don't eat things that are poison to you. Like for me I'm going to go down to Friendly's and have, you know, like a 5-scoop ice cream sundae thing. That'd be poison to me. I could end up in a hospital right now if I did something that would be stupid, because I have knowledge that's poison for me. Well, I shouldn't have to be denied the pleasure of ice cream. Why do you think you have to have that pleasure? See, that's a sign. You live for pleasure. You know, we eat to live. We don't live to eat. Selah. Well, I didn't get very far in my text. I'll pick that up some next week. Jesus saw their faith, and he brought something else to the equation. Sometimes repentance and the forgiveness of sin is involved with healing. Sometimes it's a spoken word. Sometimes it's casting out a spirit. Sometimes it's just the healing touch and anointing. And I'll close this with saying in Luke chapter 5, the same account, it says that verse 17 or 16, it says that the power of God was present to heal. There was a tangible healing anointing on the very day and the hour Jesus ministered healing to this man sick of the palsy. There are times the gifts of healing operate where it is a tangible anointing that you literally can feel if you're the one carrying it. Jesus at times carried that anointing. It was just a matter of releasing it forth. In this man's case, thy sins be forgiven. To another, it was through the touch, the laying on of hand. It could be the anointing with oil or just speaking a word. But there's times that there's the presence of the healing anointing. And some people have a calling to carry that anointing in ministry. And praise God for that. We don't glorify the man or the woman for that. We glorify God, but there are times there is a present anointing and we have the point of contact to tap into that. Well, we'll pause on this and pick this up again next week.